afternoon service. We'll start by going to number 329 in the gray hymnal. We'll sing a few favorites, see if anybody has a testimony. Appreciate your sticking around. Beautiful hymn, Son of My Soul, 329. We'll need to sing out.
Son of my soul, thou Savior, it is not thine, it thou only thee.
Mick, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, Father, we thank you for this wonderful day and the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the freedom we have in this country that we're able to come and worship as we wish. We ask that you'd guide us this afternoon. Let's have open hearts and bless all of us who can be here. And just let it be prosperous for us and advance the kingdom of God. Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you. All right, we have time for a few testimonies and or hymn requests. Who'd like to say something now? Word of testimony or hymn? Nick? 805, that would be in the old hymnal. Just pass the table of contents. Because he lives. We'll do the first and last unless otherwise requested. 805.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to thank you.
Yes. 8:14. It's a little farther to the right. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? 187 in the old. First and last. Let's do one more. Rupert? 53 in the new hymnal. Let's stand, please, for this last hymn before the message. 53. good singing. Thank you. You may be seated. As we move through the scriptures, we're on to 2 Corinthians now. Wonderful, wonderful verses in these first chapters of 2 Corinthians. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we study thy word, oh, that thou would open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. First insight. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. Quite familiar with this verse, I trust. It's great encouragement for any tribulation that we go through. And God comforts us to the end for a purpose. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So there's purpose in all of our trials. Little few thoughts on this comfort. You know that in that text, the word comfort is mentioned 10 times. Comfort, 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 and comfort. The English word comfort, com means with, fort, from fortitude, fort. It means power or strength, or in strength and character, it would mean therefore bravery. So wordsmithies will tell you that the word comfort literally means to be brave together. So as you and I go through physical trials, emotional trials, spiritual trials, financial trials, employer trials, we don't do it alone. We go in the presence of God and we're brave together with him. The Greek word translated comfort there is, of course, paraklesios. A paraclete, are you familiar with that? Jesus' word for the Holy Spirit. It means one called alongside to help. So the picture here is whatever and the word tribulation, tribulum, was a threshing tool. It was hinged so you get centrifugal force. You swing it and it would hang and bang down onto the grain and crush the chaff to be blown away and the grain separated from it. And so when we go through tribulation, the picture there is though we are being beaten as by a threshing machine, crushed, broken up. But God comforts us. He goes with us. We're brave together with God as we go through it. And so by we are equipped to help others as they go through similar trials. Number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Epistle means a letter, right? The epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink. He's not taking an ink pen and writing on us, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Now that is quite a verse, isn't it? God is writing a message on you for others to read, writing it on your heart. See, in the Old Testament, it was the Ten Commandments. We read in Exodus 32:16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Well, it's that same finger, as it were, that wrote the Ten Commandments that's writing a letter on you and me. So what do people read when they read us? We are epistles known and read of all men. Number three, 2 Corinthians 3:18 is the verse we cite often. It's a glorious verse. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, that means a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we behold our Lord in the Scriptures, we begin to reflect His image in our lives, in the very brilliance on our faces. from one degree of glory to another. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. How far we get before we go to glory, that's the Holy Spirit working on us and us complying with His labors. But that's one way to describe you and my lives right now, that we are in the process of being changed to being like Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 4:4. See how many familiar verses there are in these early chapters in this epistle? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's quite a hands-on labor of the devil, isn't it? Blinding the minds. Not want any darkness to come, any light to come into the minds. So he fends it off. He blinds the minds of them which believe not. And so we must pray in accordance with Acts 26:18. Pray for God to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I wonder how many times I pray that very prayer daily. I'm going to guess at least 5 times, maybe 10. I have particularly a son-in-law. God can open his eyes. God can turn him from darkness to light. God can turn him from the power of Satan to the power of God. 1, 2, 3 requests. Perhaps you know somebody to pray for in that manner. Number 5. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sort of a paradox there. We don't look at the things we can see. We look at the things we can't see. We have high esteem for the unseen. Indeed, value is determined by how long something lasts. The things that are not seen lack the longest. For example, we read in Matthew 16:26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Well, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Trillions, untold trillions, quadrillions of dollars worth of possessions. Lose soul, what's the point? The point is that the soul lasts longer. It's how long something lasts eternally versus temporally that makes all the difference. We read in 1 John 2 and verse 17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." If we have any sense, we're going to invest in the stuff that lasts. "Lay not up treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal." Eternal. Always keep the eternal in mind. And that this was implied in the last verse. We're going to pick it up directly in this next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Things which are not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. I probably have told you this before, but Kirk Wheeler, who's a physician here in Sioux Falls, discipled me when I was a freshman in college and on through my years. And he was a med student, and he was very, very busy. And he would quote this verse over and over and over again. "How do things look? Don't look very good," he would say. "But then who goes by while things look?" We walk by faith, not by sight. And so if we were to go to Hebrews chapter 11, that's the phrase we see in one form or another again and again and again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our eyes are fixed on things not seen. And faith is like it puts meat on the bones of that which is invisible. We see the things which are not seen. That's the praise for Moses. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. You and I have faith. What we see is what other people don't see. The lost don't see it. We see heaven, we see God, we see angels, we see the redeemed, we see the judgments, we see eternity, we see all this stuff that's invisible to the world. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk as seeing him, God, who is invisible. Number 7, 2 Corinthians 5:10, another familiar text. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This is, of course, the judgment of the saved, not of the lost. The lost are judged at the great white throne judgment. The saved, well, not even the saved, but the works of the saved are judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment determining whether to go to heaven or not, that's already passed. That was settled when we received Christ as our Savior. But how you and I live now is going to be appraised, is going to be scrutinized, is going to be rewarded. So what you and I do this day, it's all being recorded. Next day, on through to the end of time for us, it's all laid up. And we're going to receive according to what we did in this body, according to that which we did. Good, and the word there for bad really ultimately means worthless, of no value. And we read in Revelation 22, the Lord Jesus saying, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Oh, we should take this very seriously. Eternity is a long time. This temporal world is so brief. Give ourselves to the Lord's work now. It will be worth it all. Number 8, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I wrote down the comments of Henry Morris on this verse. He said, Christ's dying is just the same as if we all died. And in our so dying, we died to sin and self that we might live to God our Redeemer, whose henceforth we are. Number 9, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I think this is the first verse I ever memorized, but I memorized it in another translation that went this way. From now on, we regard no man from a human point of view. It just really stuck with me, that idea of, that's what the idea here is, after the flesh. We don't look at him from a human point of view. We look at him from a heavenly point of view. Every encounter, every person we deal with, from a heavenly point of view. I had an odd opportunity the other day. I was talking with somebody, and we got onto the topic of word origins. And he asked me about some word, and I told him. And then we kind of went down that subject for a while. Profanity, for example. Pro means in front of. Fanity comes from fanus, F-A-N-U-S, which means temple. So the word profanity means that which you keep out of the church, so to speak. Pro-temple, outside of, not in. It doesn't fit there. It's profane. And we talked about sinister. The word sinister today means something evil, weird. Does anybody know what the word sinister means in Latin? Left. Right, left. If they would watch omens, if a flock of birds would arise and fly off to the left, to the sinister, bad. If they fly off to the right, that'd be the dextra, that would be good. And dextra means right. So a person with dexterity, it's like he has two right hands. But that's what we got on as a topic, and we went from there to spiritual things, as I shared with him what some words mean. You never know what knowledge or talent you might have that God will use to spread the gospel. But whatever, every person with whom we interact, we don't look at them from a human point of view. From now on, see no one from a human point of view. And then finally, number 10, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So regeneration is a true miracle of special creation, comparable in quality to the creation of the universe. We're a new creation. So here's one work of God, creation of the universe. Here's another work of God, your creation being made alive on the same level of wonder. So, in sum, God equips us through trials to comfort others. Two, we are living letters from Jesus Christ. Three, like Moses, we behold God and are changed. Four, the devil blinds minds from gospel light. Five, value is linked to how long something lasts. You would be surprised perhaps by how many, I was going to mention this earlier, appeals I get for big money. See if I can, oh, here it is. Do you think I should follow up on this? This is an email I got from the other day from a lady. My dearest in the Lord, Pastor Rick Skirmans. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Mrs. Mary, she gives her last name, the widow of the late Mr. gets his last name. So she's a widow, 56 years old, a Christian convert, suffering from prolonged cancer of the breast. From all medical indications, my condition has really deteriorated. It's pretty obvious that I may not live for more than 6 months owing to the rapid growth by stage and excruciating pain that accrues to it. My husband died 6 years ago, and our long years of marriage was not blessed with children. My husband was very wealthy, and after his death, I inherited all his business and funds. My doctor has diagnosed, told me privately what I should expect, building my spirit for the inevitable. He says I may not last for more than 6 months. Based on this, I have taken the decision to share part of my funds and wealth in contribution to the development of the church and society. And so a little farther, she has bequeathed to me and us $6,300,000. Unfortunately, the money's in a bank in another country, and if I... Just a little bit suspicious. That is not an unusual letter. I guess, anyway, value is not linked to how long something lasts. Number six, we walk by faith, not by sight. Christians don't walk by sight. They walk by faith as seeing the unseen. We see the hand of God that others don't see. We see heaven. We see hell. We see eternal souls that the lost don't see. We walk not by sight. Number seven, our works will be judged and rewarded. Some works will be looked upon as wood, hay, and stubble. They'll all burn up, nothing. Others, precious jewels, gold, things that endure, things that will be rewarded, things of eternal value, like the winning of souls, like the representing of Christ. In Christ's death, we have died to sin and self. We are dead in Christ. We regard no one from a human point of view, and our being created anew is a great miracle. That enough for today? Let's have a closing hymn. Let's sing very prayerfully. Number 328 in the gray hymnal, Abide With Me. I think we can sing all five verses. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the Lord's day.